This is CliffCentral.com.
With us in the studio this morning, our special guest, none other than Glenn Biederman Pam. I saw him on Dumi's new show, Dumi Morake's new show. Mubs, you've been watching that, right?
What the F,
what
Dumi?
What the F, right?
What the F?
WTF. WTF Dumi. Mm. Is it, did you say what the F?
That's what the fuck, but I mean, right. You know, you've got to be.
Can't say that on television.
No.
Because people like, because the children might hear it, right? That's what everybody's always worried about, is the children hearing it. But I saw him on this show just the other day, and I thought, got to get him in here and talk to him. In fact, we'd already had you on our list long before that, and it just hasn't happened up to now. But here he is, Glenn Biederman Pam. How are you, dude? Nice to see you, and thanks for coming in this morning.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Gareth. Hi, guys. Nice to see you. It's,
hello.
It's fairly early, but you guys have been here since, what, 6, 5? So, but, you know, I performed at comedy last night. And
where were you last night?
I was at the Box Pop Art in Maboneng. It happens every Sunday night.
Do you get a big crowd out there on a Sunday night?
Well, I mean, Pop Art's like a 100-seater little venue. It's kind of taken over from, well, like a while ago, from Cool Runnings, where
right.
that John used to do. So now it's the Sunday night thing. So you can get about 100 people in there. Trevor was there last week, which was quite, which was pretty magical.
He got around a lot last week, huh?
Yeah. Well, he put together his show in sort of a month. He flew a couple of guys over there to the States to help him sort of get get the material out, and then got here, developed like an hour and a half show within basically a week. It's ridiculous.
That's
the
brilliant.
Guy is he's a serious legend. Yeah.
So you pulled a big crowd last night at the Box. That's
yes.
very nice. And then you decided you'd wake up and come and join us early this morning.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. I was hosting the show. So I tried to keep it as short as possible, keeping you in mind. So I was.
Because you comedians are a bit like rock stars. Sometimes you decide in the morning, I don't feel like coming in. There are, not you, but there are less disciplined people
who would
let us down.
Yeah, I completely agree. But the problem is we're not as rock and roll as rock star. Actually, most of us are pretty geeky. I mean, like back in the day, there used to be guys who would like do, you know, all sorts of things, Flissmas. But now Flissmas sits at the back of the room and like has a cup of tea before he goes on.
He's become a real old bastard.
He really he really has.
He's
I mean,
a good guy. So tell me about you, Glenn, because I mean, we've heard your name in you know, comedy circles for a long time, and you've done a bit of TV here and there. You've done your own shows. You've won awards.
Yes, well, I've been nominated for awards. Oh no, I have won awards.
No, you've won awards.
Thanks for good to. I'm born and bred in Cape Town, and I studied acting at UCT. And I actually recently found out that David Kao and Kagiso Lediga both
studied acting at UCT
in the same course. Yeah, so it's producing some dudes, which is good.
But how old are you now?
I'm 28.
No, you're a baby compared to those grizzly old dudes.
I am. Skulk Poseidon Note was a few years below me though. He's a real baby, but he's a real rock star as well. And then, yeah, I moved to Joburg because, you know, I like being employed and having money.
Tell me, is that a slight on Cape Town? Because Capetonians get upset when people say that.
Yeah, but they mustn't be upset because it's absolutely 100% true. I do a lot of work down in Cape Town, and there's just it's not as organized. My girlfriend lives in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And she,
how's that long distance thing working?
It's fine.
it's just took a huge deep breath in between. It's hard, dude.
It's
don't
like
lie.
Trying to download an answer.
It's impossible.
Yeah,
because
I'm just trying to figure out whether she's awake or not, because then she'll
tell us the truth and she can figure it out.
No, the truth is that I'm a faithful guy, but it's a difficult thing. But the reason why it's difficult is you go down there and like I want to get things done, you know, like during the week, and you know, you get it's Monday, and then she's like, why are you've become so Joburg, you so
oh,
I'm like, what
man.
Do you mean by like going and
wake up in the morning?
Yeah, like that's a real thing. I remember when I was I just graduated, I was doing some promotion, and we were like making popcorn for a company in Cape Town, and the Joburg people were making popcorn for a company in Joburg. And we, by lunchtime, we had done like in Cape Town like 100 bags of popcorn, and the Joburg people had done exactly double, 200. And that for me was a great representation of what it's like. I'm not giving the guys cuck. I'm just saying,
and it's a great place to live. Let's not.
It's amazing.
You know, there's the lifestyle is fantastic, and there's plenty of things to do if you have money.
Yes, exactly. But
if you don't have money, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Cape Town must be really depressing for most of the month, and then at the end of the month, it's like party central.
It's amazing, exactly. Yeah, they have First Thursdays. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like where all the arties go, and now it's the whole thing. And then they spend all their money at First Thursdays. Then
it's finished. Then they have to live off of handouts from homeless people.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So where in Cape Town did you grow up?
Yeah, I was. I was
southern suburbs boy.
No, I'm more on the Atlantic seaboard. Yes, yeah. Being Jewish and all, that's where that's the spiritual home of the Jews. Seapoint. I was a little bit further towards Camps Bay, which was very nice. Very nice. But very windy. People don't know that about Camps Bay. They think that it's all glitz and no, it's horrendous.
That's why so many people who come from there look all windswept.
Yeah, they do. Very weathered. It's weird because it's quite an interesting place, Camps Bay, because it's only Jews and Germans. That's all, which is.
What an interesting
It is. It is. It's a great combination. We like to be very close to our former oppressors, you know.
Oppressors, former murderers.
Murderers. We could say that. Yeah, we could go there. I didn't know they were still around until this weekend.
There's a lot of Germans.
Yeah. No, not
you mean the Nazis?
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
All those people.
Yeah, they
came out.
Well,
there were 173 of them in the whole of the United States. That's all they could muster.
Okay. Well, those are the guys who were in, you know, who were sort of okay to come out.
They have more quiet, silent supporters in the shadows?
I think so. Yeah. The sort of, you know, the silent partners.
Just be careful. You do sound like Mangosuthu Buthelezi talking about a third force that never materialized.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It might be paranoia.
Like, why are people so terrified of the right wing that they ascribe all this power to them? And I'm not saying that this weekend wasn't an eye opener, because I certainly am surprised that anyone would walk around with a Nazi flag. And I'm even more horrified that people would want to be called Ku Klux Klan members and that they would put their faces out there. It's bizarre, but it seems like, okay, they could get 100, call it 200. Let's, for the sake of it, say 200 people in that march. And we're all suddenly on high alert that white supremacy is on the rise, 200 people. But the left wing is huge, and we've got Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all that. And we're never frightened of them the way that we are of the right wing. And we're always imagining the right wing is bigger and more powerful than it really is. How did they get that PR right? The left wing doesn't get that PR. There could be 3,000 people in a left wing march and nobody bats an eyelid. They're like, a bunch of hippies. Right wing, you're like, oh, Jesus, they've got arms caches. They've got a shadow government waiting.
Yeah.
We ascribe this value to them that they don't really have.
That's a very good point. I feel like right wing, I think the reason why the fear is there is because right wing has been associated with sort of extremist sort of actions and violence, and that's what we associate the right wing with.
Which is interesting, because really communism has killed far more people than fascism ever has, by a multiple of 20.
Yes. So
and yet we're not as scared of communists. Someone says they're a communist, you're like, oh, nice. Hey, I'm Gareth.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
Meanwhile,
someone says they're a Nazi, you're going to run the other way.
Yeah. Well, definitely me. I'm running.
Oh, well. Historically, you have good reason.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so tell me.
Point. Sorry. Yes. So
Biederman Pam. Tell me about the double barrel.
It's a weird, it's not a very sort of Jewish surname. It's pretty down the line, but not down the line. My mother was Biederman, my dad is Pam.
Okay.
My mom only had girls in the family, so my dad took one for the team.
Oh, nice.
Which is, yeah, but it's not great for comedy, because
I always thought it was you and then there was a girl called Pam. I always thought it was Glenn Biederman and then there was some chick called Pam. Almost like, you know, the puppet.
Yeah.
You might have had a puppet called Pam. That's what I thought for a long time.
Like a sidekick. Well, I'm glad you knew who I am. That's the most important thing. It's just hard, man. Cause like it's not an easy thing. Gareth Cliff, it's right. You need to hear it once and you know it, you know. Biederman Pam, Biederman Park? That's what I won a Lurie once. And they literally, on the certificate, it said Glenn Biederman Park. How Jesus. Do you get so
on
bad?
On the certificate?
Yeah, on the actual thing. So on the certificate. So now, at least with Toomey's show, I'm being recognized for who I am.
So I saw
which
a
is great.
Screenshot of Tumi's show this weekend, and you were standing in the background with no clothes on.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Yeah, Trevor actually came up to me and at his show, and I came up to him, and he recognized me as the guy without a shirt on.
So he said that to you.
Yeah, he said you're the six pack guy, which I was like, yeah, great.
You have a six pack? I didn't see that.
No. Well, he thought that I might have, but there's a jacuzzi on the show.
Oh,
which is I didn't just
because the
just casually on set.
The producer phoned me last week, Siva, and she said, "Won't you come on the show?" And I said, "Well, we'll get back to you." And then when I saw there's a jacuzzi, I was like, "No, there's not a chance."
Listen, see, people are so you don't have to get into the jacuzzi.
I'm not going. Yeah, it's already decided.
I don't know why people. Wait, the first like four.
You don't know why people don't. Want to join you?
Glenn Biederman and Pam. Guys.
Glenn, not all of us have six packs. No, don't want to get into the jacuzzi. And,
what is Dumi in there as well?
She's in there.
She is.
She's in there. Celeste and Thule was in there.
Is there room with Celeste and Thule in there?
Wow. Throwing shade in that. Is that how you? Is it throwing shade?
Throwing shade.
So what are you? You guys are in this hot soup of the three of you.
No,
you have someone join you?
No, it's not some cesspool. No, it's
sounds
an actual
revolting.
No, Gareth.
And it's on a set. What's that, Ben?
Jacuzzis are cesspools. It's been proven.
They are, yes.
Where do you record this? Where does this happen?
This feels like Dave Letterman's show. I mean, not Dave. Dave Levinson.
All right, where does this happen?
It happens. Okay, so the show is like a talk show.
No,
with a
where
set.
Do you film it?
At Urban Brew Studios.
So this is not even a real jacuzzi.
No,
It's a fake jacuzzi, so it's even filthier. And you want me to get in there?
No, it's not. They clean it.
Nobody wants you to get in there,
Glenn.
Gareth.
Do you continue, please?
So they drain the water every week. So it's only
every fucking week.
No, that's
great. So they leave it in for a week.
Can you imagine
the festering filth in that filtration
system? Well, we've only had four people in there, so I'm one of them, and I'm a pretty clean guy. Celeste was there, Nina Hasty.
There's no way I'm getting in there if Nina Hasty's
in. I should never have said that.
You shouldn't have said that. Bad move. Nina Hasty, bad
No,
bad
I mean,
move.
Listen, if I'd said that a few years ago, I would agree. But, I mean, she's moved up in the world now. She's on Trending Essay. She lives opposite me. She's
so
in love.
Shaka Sisulu. We know what he does in his spare time.
No, guys, come on. We need more whites. She's been the only white on there, and it feels like,
you're a white.
I know, but there was a headline the other day that we're running out of whites and I'm happy about that. I will turn on my people, guys. I'm renting. People are asking for the land. I'm renting. So I don't own any. But I would like to join the black.
I don't have land either. The bank, the bank owns mine.
The bank. So how do you? Is there someone we can? Do you want to? Because that you need like a few.
Don't look at us.
No.
We're
not going to help you.
We're not helping
you for shit.
So hang on. I'm curious. So now, what do you do? You all sit in this jacuzzi and you talk to each other.
No.
And
okay.
We watch?
Okay. So the. So it's not just a jacuzzi and we watch.
I gotta get Dumi in here to talk to me about
this.
Yeah,
no, you should.
She's a better spokesperson than you so far.
I know, I've been horrendous. I've not.
You basically said you have STDs.
Yeah, that's literally what I've been doing. There's a lounge, there's a bar, and there's a jacuzzi.
So you're drinking actual alcohol?
Actual alcohol. I serve the alcohol. I'm a barman. I'm the barman. So in the beginning, I have.
So you're like those topless guys at a gay bar?
No, well, I'm not. I mean, I do.
Hey now.
What is Cliff Central? This
See
is
coming.
Okay.
He'll come to your show.
I shall gladly come.
No, that please do.
Can I have special requests?
Yeah. No. Anything you request, whatever you want to drink, I make. Oh, I don't actually make it. The PAs make it. I've never made anything. But
all right, so I'm gonna arrive there.
Yep. You get there.
You're gonna pretend to make me a drink, which someone else has probably made.
100%.
So it's not even. You don't even care about me because you won't even make the drink. Then I'm gonna have to sit in a jacuzzi.
No, you see now
and wallow like a hippopotamus with three other people.
No,
we expect an audience to watch us.
This is not it. Okay, Gareth. What happens is there's a lounge. There's a lounge with a couch. That's what I've been trying. This is literally the same as Dave's show. Dave will go, so Glenn, you've got shows coming up. Where is that? That's at the Baxter. You know, I had a show at the Baxter Theater, actually, 2012 with Mark Lottering. You know Mark Lottering. Yeah, so Mark and I have been friends for a while, and we did an amazing show. What are
so
you
like saying
to
he talks
do?
About himself the whole time?
Well, I mean, not just himself. He just doesn't let you get a word in. That's how it works with
I'm
Dave's
just
show.
Trying to figure out, because I've got to get back to Sive now and yes. tell her that I'm not coming.
No,
so
don't.
I want to have ammo.
Okay, your ammo is this, okay? You are coming.
Yes.
And you just have to say, I'm not going to get in the jacuzzi. And then we will just ignore the jacuzzi that day. We don't even acknowledge the jacuzzi.
You won't even wash it out from the previous
No, that, it's going to stay there. And the only time we wash it is if someone else gets in there. So you don't have to, you can stay in the lounge, drink cocktails, have a chat to Tumi and myself.
All right, film it live. Is it live or do you?
It's live. Not even live to tape. Right. So that's quite exciting.
That's good. That's an intriguing thing. What channel is this on?
It's SABC 3, 9:30 Wednesday and Thursday nights. And it's two guests per show and then a musical act. So, and a live studio audience, which is great.
See, I don't want to pay my TV license. I won't. They've been after me for months and I refuse. Yeah. So,
okay.
I don't know if I want to bring audience to SABC either. I love you. I love Dumi, but this thing's really not sounding good for me at the moment.
But the whole show or the SABC itself?
No, well, you see, I don't believe.
Let's clarify.
Okay. Yeah. We're on a tangent now. I want to get back to you in a second.
It's fine.
I don't believe we should be supporting state-owned enterprises.
You know, Gareth, my hands are tied. So let's talk. Let's get you, right, Dave Levinson.
Okay, so you grew up in Cape Town. Let's get back to you for a second.
Yeah, okay.
Your mom's name is Pam
Biederman.
She's Biederman.
It's going so badly.
Is her name Pam as well?
We run a Schlossy show.
When she married him, she would be Pam.
Her name is was Marcel, and she married my dad, Johnny Pam, and then they put it together. Was Biederman.
Your brothers and sisters?
Brother Jordan, who works at Caprice, which I think used to frequent back in your rock
and
roll.
Well, before they started shooting each other.
Yes, exactly. And he's
is he still alive?
He's there. Yeah, I never know. It's tough.
Is he as funny as you?
He's quite a serious chap. He's quite a serious chap. I mean, he has to be. You know, he's probably a bit more famous than I am. You know, he hangs out with very famous people there.
Well, that place is a bit of a magnet for. The society in Cape Town.
Right? Yeah, it's hectic. Society. It's hectic. Shame, and they've taken a bit of a knock since the incident. But I mean, it is also winter, and I'm sure summer will get its back on its feet. But he's great. He's in Camps Bay the whole time, having a great life.
What
and
an awesome life! I mean, so he's younger than you?
No, he's older. He's older. Yeah.
All right, and he wakes up at like 1.
Yeah, and after then, a Sunday night,
and then goes to Caprice that afternoon at 6.
Yeah, and it's always sunny. For some reason, even in winter, it's just that little strip is just like beautifully.
I feel like the Biederman Pams are typecast for pouring drinks.
Ah, there you go.
I feel this is an area that you and your brother, there's mutually overlapping magisteria.
Yes, alcoholism. It could be one or the two. I'm not sure. Or at least precipitating alcoholism.
Okay, but you were hosting this night last night. You don't drink it these evenings, do you?
No, well, I mean, I'll have a glass of wine just because, you know, you're there and you're with the comedians and having a toot. But I mean, it's like being, you know, you wouldn't want to have a drink or get pissed before your show because you kind of have to be thinking slightly.
I've tried that before. It doesn't work so well.
What about on your days on 5? How was that? Were you? Because I heard you were quite rock and roll.
I used to ask my buddy. We all were. She was even more so, and Leanne, of course, the most.
Leanne was she was an alcoholic, but
functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
But to this day, we say that some of our best shows on 5FM were the shows when you'd come. The morning after with a hangover.
Yeah.
Because the night before had been so.
They were quite raw.
Debaucherous.
Yeah. I can imagine. But you guys had a huge following, a huge listenership. And I was a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
And I want to ask, because I listened to a very, like a really important show, the show the morning after Tata Madiba had passed away. And your team was all, they'd lost it. And you were holding it together like a real leader. You were there. and compassionate, but also sort of together and not like losing.
It was
losing
a hard show to do.
It looked like a difficult show, but yeah, I want to say that was well done. I was I became a big fan after that. But this is not about you; it's about me. So.
The reason I asked about the having a party when you're doing these gigs and things is because there are two kinds of comedians. There are the ones like Trevor who don't drink at all. They're super focused.
Yeah.
If they're forced to be social, they will. We were talking to Jason Goliath about this the other day. And then they're the ones who can be part of the fun. Like Levinson, for example, I don't think you have to kick him out when the place closes.
Yeah.
Some of the best comedians can come from either side.
Yeah.
Like you've got great comedians who are terrible drug addicts and alcoholics.
Right.
And you get great comedians who are super disciplined and teetotalers.
Absolutely.
I suppose you've just got to do what's right for you.
Definitely. I mean, I think we can talk about it in two senses. Firstly, I mean, you just get people who go both sides, you know, who are, you know, extroverts and, who want to jaw and be the life and soul of the party, or people who are introverted and don't really find social situations, you know, the place that they thrive in. In terms of that's off stage. On stage, I don't know, man. Whatever works for you, you just got to be the funniest version of yourself, I suppose. The best
version
of yourself.
What's your modus operandi? Do you sit down and do you observe people and write down anecdotal stuff? Do you carry around your phone and make notes on it?
Yeah, I carry around the phone, make the notes on the phone, little like 1-2 sentences, and then I'll go to my laptop and sit down. What I've been doing recently is getting around a table with other comedians and throwing ideas around. I really feel like I thrive in those situations. It's like four brains is better than
so
one.
You like that brainstorming
yeah,
stuff,
man,
because there
I
are also
that.
Those people who prefer to work on their own.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. No, I was the kid in the class who, when they said get into groups, I was like, yes, this is
you
the
love
best.
That.
Love that. Because it's just you can do better stuff because there's like it's four times the size of your brain. You
who
know?
Approached so. You to get involved in Tumi's show? She come up to you herself and say, hey, let's go for a coffee?
Tumi and I did a play a while ago, which was, I don't know if the director's listening, probably not, but it was an absolute nightmare. I won't mention what it was, but we bonded over that. And then I did.
That was the vagina monologues. You were very heavily involved.
Literally exactly that. I was heavily, deep in the vagina monologues, the vagina monologues. And then we became mates after that and just sort of performed together and went along. Then I did Jason Goliath's talk show last year called Larger Than Life on SABC3, which wasn't a huge success, but for me as a in TV, it taught me a lot.
First taste.
Yeah. And then that got me in with the channel. Yeah. And they.
Do you like TV?
I don't watch a lot of TV. I like being on TV.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's cool. And this, especially with like comedic shows. And I've always had an inclination to shows like Letterman and, you know, Jimmy Fallon and James Corden, the late night talk shows.
Well,
I love those.
I suppose it's exciting because it's not like some of the stuff you do, but it kind of is. Like,
yeah.
You have to be set to funny.
Yes.
But, and you're on your toes because if it's live, like your show is with Tumi.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exciting because you never know what could happen.
Absolutely.
You're making material on the trot.
Yes.
It's a very lively, exciting, edgy experience.
Exactly.
Right? And if you were doing it recorded, it would be boring and you'd hate it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about TV.
Exactly. And it's take after take. But this has definitely an exciting element about it. And what I like about it is talking to people like you and not asking the questions like, what inspired you to do what you do? And like getting in and asking questions that people like, don't know about you. You know, that's what I love.
Well, good luck. I do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. There's very little left.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll get there. We'll between Tumi and I, we kind of
no,
find
told,
a way.
I told
of,
you I'm not coming. Forget that.
Well, we'll see about that. But so we've been friends for a while, and then she said, "I want Glenn, and I won't do it if I don't." So she was like diva-ish
that's
in
nice.
The best way.
That she's got your back.
Completely.
She wants you on board.
Yeah, yeah. And she has her demands and what the show was and what writers she wants, who she wants as her co-presenter.
She tell you to go to gym like 3 months before time so that you'd be
Yeah, I'm taking a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. In fact, I'm going right after this.
Good man.
Yeah, you gotta do it. I train with a friend of mine who is also an actress and Zakia Patel. So she won Strictly Come Dancing a few years ago.
She's in good shape.
She's in great shape and it's great and we kind of push each other.
Yeah, but the only comedian I can think of who's fit is probably Joe Rogan. There aren't any others.
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
The rest are really out of shape.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's Trevor's. Trevor's in looking pretty good.
Trevor's
looking. He's a good looking chap. But I don't know. I don't understand this culture of comics who I could never like wake up at one and then like bugger around for like the afternoon and then like get to work and like I don't know. I don't know why. That's maybe just a thing of like how I've grown up.
So what's your day to day?
So I'm up.
When do you record the show?
The show. Is only Wednesday and Thursday night, so that's we get there at 6 and then we do a rehearsal and then Tumi and I will punch up the script, rewrite, and then we shoot live. Other nights I'm performing as a comedian, and then I also direct commercials during the day with a production company called Team Best, I got involved with them through acting in one of their commercials, and then I was like, there's not enough. I wanted more.
So that's quite a fun job.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. And it's all comedic stuff. It's all comic commercials, which is great. And they all sort of feed into each other. And it's a lot of fun. And it's just like, I don't know, it feels like it stimulates the brain a bit more. I feel like one thing, you know, acting or comedy can be quite sort of.
When you told your parents, John and Pam.
Yeah.
You said to them, I'm going to go into comedy. Were they horrified?
Yeah, they were. Well, you see, so my dad wasn't, John wasn't too disappointed because his sister, her name is Sue Pam Grant.
I know her. She's famous.
She is quite famous.
Right.
Yeah.
She's an actress and everything.
Yes. Actress and a playwright. And she, so my dad grew up with her, obviously, and he would like take her to UCT Drama School, the same course that I did, pick her up. She was in tears from being, you know, shat on by the lecturers and all. So he's grown up. He saw her success. He saw how well she did. She got into TV. She got into playwriting and she, you know, did the damn thing. So he was like, he was sort of a little bit.
He was okay with you being a performer.
Yeah. Yes. My mom, on the other hand, was not great about it.
Did she constantly say to you, like, a lot of moms nag and are annoying about this stuff, but like, oh, can't you, why don't you do this?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
You could be a great lawyer. You could be a great doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you have something to fall back on? That's the phrase
fall
that
back
I
on. Fall back on. And did that crush your spirit every time she said it?
Oh, jeez. We had huge fights about it. She just flat out said no one day. Just turned around and said, absolutely not. You can do it, but first you have to do this course and that course and that course.
So did you do what she said?
I didn't. I didn't do what she said. I did it. Well, okay. Here's something that people might not know is that she passed away six, 7 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
7 years. It's fine. You had nothing.
No, but it's still, I'm sorry for you.
For
it
me.
Must have been
okay.
Shitty.
Yes.
It
no,
must
I
have
thought,
been really
I
hard.
Thought maybe you were part of the, no,
I
it was cancer.
To do with
I'm glad. No, so she, and then she was on a thing. I was going into drama school, but I had done a commercial. Just before, while she was sick and then the commercial came out and I showed her the commercial and she turned and she said, that's beautiful. Well done. She kind of gave me her
seal of approval.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
She went, okay, you can do the damn thing. Okay. I can see you can do it. And from then I felt not guilty that I was doing it and that she was supporting me. So like throughout school and just after school, she was against it. I showed her that commercial. It was a stupid Swedish juice commercial. But she saw, acting in it. I was in it. Yeah. I was in it. So now then I got both.
It's a nice story. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you got her blessing, as you're saying that obviously then.
It was in fact the evening just before she passed away.
God.
I know.
It's hugely emotional.
I don't know. This is probably not what you were expecting.
Jeez. I mean, that's moving.
It is moving. It is moving. It is very moving. And that for me was her going, fucking, are you like, sorry.
Yeah, of course you can.
I heard it earlier. So
you're like, not in the jacuzzi
yeah,
now.
yeah, it's not SAVC. I'm going to get.
No, you won't get it.
It's top of the line.
Blame it on me.
Yeah, she said, yeah. So that was for me of go and do it, go and get it. And I haven't looked back. I really have, I've been really lucky with plays and directing commercials and stand-up comedy and now TV.
I mean, yeah, you, if it was 5 or 6 years ago, I mean, you lost your mom quite young.
Yeah, very young. Yeah, it was really tough. It was difficult. She was a psychologist, which helps a lot because I grew up being very in touch with the, you know, with the human psyche, and that helped me a lot with stand-up and with acting, you know.
Yeah.
So I would come to her when I was studying acting with, you know, with characters, and I wish she was still here because it's, I don't know why actors don't study psychology. It's like,
they should, right?
It's
because
insane.
That's how you get into the character.
That's how you do it. That's everything. That's the whole point of it. Mm. So, so I luckily was able to, you know, I didn't go and turn to, which I'm sure a lot of people do, not everyone, but you know, turn to drugs or alcohol or depression or, you know, cutting something out and then it comes out a lot later in some other instance. I acknowledged it and immediately, sort of integrated it and went into therapy myself and, really sort of took it on and used it as my narrative in plays that I was doing. I was playing Hamlet at the time.
That's a heavy role.
Yeah. That, and Hamlet has just, had just lost his father.
Right.
So, you know, I used my craft and my, my, you know, my art to actually to acknowledge and take it on with me and into my work.
Do you think there's merit when people say, because a lot of comedians don't actually have happy lives. They're not like bouncy happy people. A lot of them are severely depressed.
Mostly.
I'm not saying you are, but you know, we all know some comedians.
Yes.
You know, some of them are the miserable sons of bitches.
Yeah. And a lot of comedians have, most actually, except, yeah, I was, you know, Alan Committee. He's unbelievable. He's amazing. In real, I mean, he can just turn it on when he wants to in real life and off stage. In real life and on stage. And he can be a pretty serious chap, like all of us, you know.
Listen, there are a few, internationally and locally, comedians who are very morose people when you catch them off the stage. They you don't want to actually be around them for more than 10 minutes because they'll drag you down into their mire. but the reason I bring this up is, with your understanding of psychology, certainly through your mom and doing therapy and all that stuff, it helps you to get more in touch with yourself. And when you've been through some hardship, you have material.
Absolutely. That's what I feel like a lot of comedians do. A lot of the guys have been through tragic instances or situations in their lives where there was a sick parent or a loss of someone or, you know, a divorce or something like that where they had to actually find a place. They had to find the happy in their family. So they had to be literally comic relief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find that a lot of comedians come from either a broken home or, you know, there was abuse somewhere or something like that. And, you know, if you don't deal with that psychologically, you know, and you don't get on with that, then you can become a morose guy, but you can still turn on that comedy when you want.
Yeah, who was it that was telling us? I think it might even have been Levinson, who told us that his mother was this miserable person, and she just had
is it
drag
Casper.
Was it Casper?
Casper Nieuwe
Vriest.
Oh.
I don't remember. Anyway, they were saying that their whole purpose, they would wake up in the morning and all they would live for was to try and make their mom laugh. Try and make their mom smile.
There you go.
And
there you go.
I might be gilding the lily. I don't remember exactly what the conversation was, but I thought, you know, that's a major motivation for some people, that if you grow up and you're just there to make someone else's day a little bit brighter because you care about them that much and they keep, you know, sliding back into depression and nastiness and ugliness and misery. That's a kickstart to a comedy career. It sounds awful.
It does.
But what a blessing. It's, you know, it's kind of like if Oprah hadn't been abused by her dad, who knows that she wouldn't have been so in touch later on with her emotions.
Absolutely. There you go. And that she's using, as I say, your craft and your art to help others and, you know, be brilliant at what you do. So good question and good topic. I like that.
But comedy is, it's such a complex and meaningful and deep and important and even spiritual thing. A lot of people just disregard it as being able to make people laugh. You know, it's doing a joke or whatever. It's really a lot more complex than that. And I don't want us to get heavy, but when you are looking for material, I'll bet you find some of the best stuff you can mine in hardship, difficulty, pain. This country is just so fraught with people who have horrible lives.
Yeah.
And that's where you find stuff.
Jeez, you got it. That's where you got it. I think people come to comedy. People have been, I mean, forever, since, you know, the beginning of entertainment, people have been looking to comedy for relief, to laugh at, ooh, to laugh at society, to laugh at themselves, to laugh at their pain. It's a mirror up to nature. You know, that's what Shakespeare said. It's holding the mirror up to nature. So at least we as comedians are able to make light of the matter, which is, it's actually a serious, the stuff that we're talking about is hectic. It's really serious, serious stuff. I mean, politically, this country is in, it's dire straits, but we love it.
You ever get down and you sit at home and you just, oh God, I can't do this.
Yeah, I can't. Why? Well, also, I go, thank you. Thank you, Jacob, for staying there. For us, you know.
Funny,
for the
that's what Lucy, my man, and Julius are actually saying, too. They think, oh, thank God you didn't get rid of him in this photo, no confidence. Because they would have had no material.
Exactly. That's it. We love it. And Donald Trump, I was chatting to Trevor, one of Trevor's writers and a great comedian, Dave Kibuka.
Yeah, we love him. Is he amazing. Around at the moment?
Yeah, he's in town. He's there. Here for
why don't you just stab him in the front when you I've been trying to get hold of that guy for 3 years now. He doesn't return my calls or anything. He thinks he's Trevor.
No, he's around. He's on the Daily Show. But he's great. But he also he will tell you. You will get into a conversation, and then Dave won't. He won't. You'll be here for three years until he doesn't stop talking. But he talks a lot of sense. We call him the Oracle.
I love him
in comedy. He's great. But yeah, you should totally.
Who do you like in comedy? Who are your actual friends? Because it's also sometimes, you know, you guys are, frankly, you're all trying to eat the same cake.
Yeah.
But a lot of you are friends. Yeah. I noticed that you comics like each other.
We do. It's this weird thing, man. It's weird because it's like an individual sport, you know. Mm. But I always say that it's a sport like golf, where you can't do anything to beat. You can't do anything to sabotage, to make the other person make a mistake, like tennis.
Yeah.
Individual sport like tennis, where you have to beat the other person by making them make a mistake.
Correct.
Golf and comedy, you can only do you. You can't do anything about the other guy. You can't. There's nothing you can do. So that's why guys have sort of worked it out and gone like, you can't, you get your competitive guys who are, you know, it's like you get the guys who get down by other guys doing well, but I think most of us are intelligent enough to go, that's doing nothing for you. If someone's going to Montreal, or if someone's got a one-man show on Comedy Central, there's nothing you can do other than support them and like make them do great. Look what Trevor's done for us. Now guys are going over to the States, to New York, Skulk, Robbie, going, hey, I opened for Trevor. Can I get a spot? Yeah, definitely. Come and do 10 minutes at the Comedy Cellar. Awesome. How is that a bad thing?
No,
how
it's terrific. On earth?
It's amazing. So like there's very little. Sort of, yeah, there's politics here and there, but a lot of that comes with the sort of management agencies.
Yeah.
That can get a bit nasty, but that's sort of more when business starts coming into it, and that's management and representation and that kind of thing.
All right, now that Trevor's not in South Africa anymore, I mean, he'll make these star appearances, but the fact is he's not the big fish in this pond anymore. Now he's a big fish in another pond.
Yeah.
So who has eaten his lunch since he's been gone? I mean, who have become the kingpins. Dumi Morake is up there, right? She's a kingpin.
She's getting absolutely. She's gold. So
Dumi's in the gold category.
Yeah.
The Goliaths.
Yeah.
All 20 of them.
Yeah. The whole mafia squad.
Flismus is still very powerful.
Absolutely. Huge.
Who else is powerful?
You got those, like, exactly those big five. David Cow, you know, is like a huge
very powerful.
Player. Yeah. Very, it's the big sort of the big seven or eight. Nick Rabinowitz down in Cape Town. Is huge. You got your Riyad Musas, your Barry Hiltons, Kagiso Lediga. These guys are the guys who, but again, like these guys have grown up together. You know, they have Mark Lottering, like Alan Cometti. These guys are all, they started around the same time and they are highly successful comedians. I mean, really, like they do, they go over to Montreal, they go over to Australia. Luis Ogola, like he's,
I mean, he's also up there, right? I
massive.
Mean, just because people assume that he, because he didn't want to do that TV show anymore. He actually canned it.
Yeah.
He decided enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
yeah.
sick of the channel. He was tired of the pressure and he wanted to do, yeah, he wanted
really?
To do his own. Yes.
Yeah,
and the guy's been spending a lot of time in Australia and in America. Yeah. He's planning big things. I would watch him carefully.
Definitely watch. He's definitely the guy who's. So I wouldn't say there's one person who's now become the Trevor Noah, because that guy is Trevor is a. I mean, and like, I hate to you know to bow down to him in a sort of you know in a godly manner, but he really is an absolute genius intellectually, you know, business wise, and we gotta appreciate that and go. It's like a Chris Rock or
what I'm amazed by with him is not that he wasn't going to be funny and he wasn't going to do the Daily Show well, but he's doing American politics well.
I know, man. That's crazy. How do you just having not grown up there, you know, like I'm just grasping South Africa now, you know, having grown up here, like having it in the peripheries and knowing how do you just, you not, don't know any laws and all of that. And he's just nailing it. And that's
and
great.
And he's obviously immersing himself in the history of it, in the literature around it, in the personalities involved.
Yes.
Can you forecast for me what would be the perfect outcome in the next 5 years for you? What sort of position do you want to be in?
So I, like,
you're a smart guy. You don't want to be doing just stand up and other jobs to make a living. You want to be, I can imagine you have big designs.
Definitely. Absolutely. So, as an actor, I've just played in a series down in Cape Town for Showmax. It's one of Showmax's first original.
I'm so glad they're doing that.
Local series, which is great. It's called Tully's Wedding Diary. Same producers as Suzelle, Julia Anastasopoulos.
Okay.
Suzelle DIY. So they came, we shot the pilot last year and then they went to Showmax and showed them the pilot. They absolutely loved it, gave them an 8-part series. And now, so Julia is playing the lead character Tully, who's a Joburg Kugel who's moved down to Cape Town, and she's getting married.
I've seen her on Instagram.
Yes, Tully. She's just the most talented person in the whole world. It's great. And I play a nice chunky role in that, so I hope that does well.
What's your role?
His name is Rael Rosen. He's a property developer, and he
gave you
first,
such a Jewish name.
Yeah, Rosen. No, he is very, Rael Rosen. Yeah,
have they based him on anyone in particular?
A few guys.
Do you put on a voice?
Yeah.
How does he talk?
Not like Joburg. He's more sort of a Cape Town kind of. He's been there.
Right,
yeah, but you got the Joburg one. There's a slight.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it works at Gold Prop.
Too many Joburg.
You
guys.
Do. That's you do it better than I do,
it's
man.
All right. It's okay. Don't worry.
So he's the best man's. he's the groom's best mate and his property partner at Gold Prop Properties, and they are. They've started out, and they're now taking over Woodstock and Salt River, and they've got, and they're sort of gentrifying, and so I'm thinking along the lines of, and Rael was a huge hit on set and with the channel, and I want that to go a little bit further. I've got sort of plans in mind for that. I mean, we're talking about it, the things in mind, and channel's been quite interested, and I mean, it's very sort of. In the woodworks now. Comedy I want to be doing, so you know, they all kind of feed together. That's what I'm looking to get to. And that platform, I hope Showmax is going to do great. I really want it to do well.
Talking about it earlier. I mean, I admire that they're doing original local series. I think that's the only way that you can be different.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just one
otherwise,
of these,
it's
how are you going to compete with Netflix?
Exactly, dude.
How are you going to compete with Hulu and you can't do that.
It's very tough.
Unless you do local and original.
Yes, and that's exactly what they've been doing. And this is good. This is really, really good. It's good content. I'm proud of the show. I'm proud of the
Is script. It on already?
No, it'll come out in December. They're in edits at the moment.
Okay, good.
So
you must watch that.
Yeah, man, it's great. Tally, and Julia is just, how does she do that? I mean,
you
Suzelle,
said her surname is Anastasopoulos?
Anastasopoulos.
Is she related to Jennifer Aniston? They must be, right? Because, I mean, she's actually Anastasopoulos.
They're both great.
Do you know Jennifer Aniston personally?
Yeah, no, she's wonderful. Wonderful human being. Great. In fact, I grew up with her in Camps Bay. Comedy, gotta do the one man. Been doing teaser one mans for a while. 40 minutes here, 40 minutes there, but yeah. I gotta get that going. And then this show,
With Toomey,
I wanna, it's, you know, I had to prove myself as a person to the rest of the country, you know, to the SABC audience.
Right.
And luckily it's going great and they're loving me and we'll see how it goes at the end of the season, but I'd like to get way more involved and possibly co-host it. And then I don't know, who knows, maybe my own show, in a couple of years or so, and just keep on doing the overseas stuff. You know, I've been going to Australia for a while to the Perth International Fringe Festival. Comedy mm-hmm. there. Last year I was in London at the Leicester Square Theatre, which is on the West End, which was amazing with Mark Lottering and Alan and Koki Falco, who is living there now, and it went great. We filled up two nights at the Leicester at the theatre, and the British audiences were there. So to keep on doing those shows, to keep on being seen overseas, not just cap it here, and
yeah, throw out a line into the international world.
That's it. Yeah, that's got it. You. Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's yeah. That's the
plan. That
sounds
like a good. Yeah, that's a good forecast.
Thank
I like
you.
That.
Thanks, and hopefully be on the Gareth Cliff Show every now and then.
You back. I mean, Mubs has found you entertaining, and she's the real judge.
Sorry, I feel like this was quite a serious, but it's
serious.
Well, no, not serious, but sort
of. Spend most of the show talking about Pam.
A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, but yeah, I prefer that, man. Also, Gareth, it's 8:30. It's 8. Oh wow, that's
yeah, it's almost 9, dude. Okay. Look how much we've been talking. We've been yentering it up properly for a whole.
How many messages do you have from Levinson on your phone right now?
Probably so many, and honestly. Honestly, he can fuck right off because
there we go.
Seriously, no, he must seriously. Yeah. I'm never going on that show again. So, no, because he doesn't let you talk. It's really, and then when he's not talking, then you got Eric yapping in your ear.
Very annoying people.
Highly annoying.
What's the story with this week's episode with WTF?
I have no idea. I don't know. What's
You've recorded
happening.
This already?
No.
It's live.
No, it's live.
So you don't know who's going to be on.
I usually don't. I have no idea who. Anyone is.
So you could end up
David Clale.
You could. Do you have to take a bunch of different outfits? Because if you end up in the lounge, you're going to be wearing clothes.
Yes.
If you're in the jacuzzi, you'll obviously be naked. And then if you're in the bar, you'll have to look a little sleazier.
No, I'm in a tux every episode, which is great. Yeah, which is great. They wash it. They wash that like the jacuzzi.
Like the jacuzzi. Yeah, they probably wash it in the jacuzzi.
Yeah. So that's great. I don't have to worry about wardrobe.
Okay.
And then I've got a board short sponsor, so I just wear
that's
those
nice.
for when I'm
it's
in.
It's the little thing, like a board short sponsor that makes
you know,
it worthwhile.
You never think it's going to work for you, and then next thing you're on a show with a jacuzzi.
There you go,
and you're blazing. Yeah,
aren't they glad they got in with you early?
Jeez, hey, they're actually it's a family friend, so you know it's and they thought they were kind of doing it. I was doing them a favor, and now it's great because I've got just unlimited, and they're awesome. It's called Temple of Reason. I don't know if you do shout outs here.
Temple of Reason.
Yeah, Temple of Reason. They're in competition with Granadilla, which I'm sure you know is those like very sort of colorful and like loud patterned.
I don't often wear board shorts.
I'm seeing that. But yeah. Gareth, please, dude, please come onto the show. I won't force you. And okay, here's the deal. You can get in the jacuzzi, but just roll your jeans up and put your toesies in. That's all you need to do. You can keep everything on. It's just your shoes you need to take off, and Toomey will do the same. She'll take the shoes off, and we'll just be around the jacuzzi. You can have a cocktail, talk a bit of cock, and we'll get to know you a bit better than the country does.
Look at all the different ways in which they're trying to accommodate
you. Do you
know what?
I think I'll answer on his behalf. I think he lost it when you said toesies.
Toesies.
But maybe if you keep it to the couch with the drinks,
okay.
He'll say
yes.
Or that toe jam as well. You know.
Okay, fine.
We look at that. Look at the time.
I gotta go to gym.
Glenn, Biederman,
I'll
Pam?
Get him. Yes.
What a pleasure to have you here for a proper conversation for a change. I mean, you've been here so many times talking bullshit with other people, and it was meant to be. It was Bashir that you would be here this morning, and we're gonna get to know you a whole lot better with this show on TV now, and we're going to see your show. Well, the series that you're going to be in, the Showmax original show, in December. That's exciting.
Great.
Thank you very much. You can see, when's your next stand-up gig? So you can go and see that as well.
I got to look at the diary, man.
Very unprepared.
I know.
Have a list so we can plug it.
I know. I'm so sorry. I was involved. Get me on Twitter. Get me on Black Twitter.
And go to gym, because if you end up, get him on Black Twitter. Go to gym, because if you end up in the jacuzzi this week, you've got to give people something to look at.
Exactly. Right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Very good. Glenn Biederman, Pam, everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.